press conference later and ask him about his, what's it called again?
Shotgunning.
Ask him about his shotgunning habit.
It's a way of blowing your nose without the aid of a tissue.
Ah, yes.
Do you think you'd like to broach that subject with him?
I can answer that question very clearly. No. Oh. You said, would I like to? I'm definitely not. I
mean, will you?
If it is a journalistic necessity, then...
well, it's
it slightly does my head in when I see them using these towels to blow their nose.
Mm.
I don't know.
But at least in the old days, they used to blow their nose on a towel and hand it to a member of the ball crew.
Well, they still do on the tours.
Yes.
They've brought that back now, where they're handing the towels to ball kids, which I thought that was one of the really good developments in COVID.
Ah.
It was sort of slightly happening earlier. The ATP Next Gen introduced the baskets for the towels. Why that hasn't taken root completely, I don't know.
Well, especially as it's another sponsorship opportunity.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, actually, it's another piece of court furniture that you can sell to a sponsor.
So you're saying that unfortunate habit is shotgunning?
That's what
Courtney, I understand Courtney, it's called. Courtney says there's another type of shotgunning.
Well, there may well be other uses of that word. I dread to think.
But don't worry, it's not too bad. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Good day, Courtney. Good day to you.
Yes, hello. Good day to you all. Early evening in Australia.
Yes.
And the phrase shotgunning refers to a highly irresponsible way of consuming your alcohol back in Australia.
Go on.
You shotgun a can. You grab a beer, and instead of opening it at the top and clicking it and drinking it normally, you stick a pen in the side of the can, and it's a rite of passage when you're a young person, and you squeeze it because it basically drains into your stomach within about 3 seconds. You shotgun a can.
I mean, it doesn't surprise me, it's an Australian habit.
It's certainly interesting.
Do you know what I like about Radio Roland Garros? You
learn just
learn
all the time,
something
yes.
every day.
Yeah.
Something that you really don't need to know.
I wonder
know.
If there's been any scientific studies comparing those who do shotgunning and those who don't, and whether those who don't are actually a lot healthier in both senses of the word.
I think I should confirm that that's not what Taranti did.
No.
He did not.
I prefer that to what Taranti did.
Radio Roland Garros. Radio Roland Garros will be with you from 11 local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
Radio Roland Garros.
Listen again, replay.
Do that. I'll happily go to his press conference and ask him whether he's ever put a pin in a beer and drunk it straight from the side of the can.
Stefan will clip up that audio.
We look forward to that. And could you, during the team dinner, demonstrate your form of shotgunning, Courtney, for us?
Well, if we have a can of beer, and I'm going to be partial to a can of beer by the first day of the second week. I think it's...
What do you mean by the first day of the second week? You've been extremely partial to several cans of beer during the first 4 days.
It's entirely possible I may have had a champagne already this morning.
That's right.
I mean, that is good work.
We were served champagne this morning.
Were you?
I chose the apple juice, but we were served champagne.
What do you mean
yes.
we were served champagne? Where was this?
Okay, I'm going to slightly dampen the tone a little bit. You know the American journalist Howard Fendrich?
Ah, yes.
He died last week fairly suddenly. I mean, he did have cancer, but he kept it very secret, so it was a big shock to a lot of us. And the tournament, quite rightly, I think, in association with the International Tennis Writers Association, had a reception for everyone on site who wanted just to remember Howard for 15 minutes at the start of the day.
It was a lovely thing to do, wasn't
Very
it, to
nice
raise
thing
a
to
glass
do. For and, him. And they served champagne at 11 o'clock this morning. Some of us decided that was not quite within our professional frame of reference, but it was a lovely gesture by the French Tennis Federation.
He'll be much missed, Howard. He was a great journalist and much admired,
absolutely.
I think, and respected within the sport.
Yep.
Can I guess, though, that the two members who attended that, who thought it was a good idea to have champagne, were Courtney Walsh and Simon Canvers.
Well, all I can say is they were both there, but I was not keeping tabs on what they were drinking.
I believe Howard would have expected no less.
Yes.
It's what Howard would have
How
wanted.
How respectful of you, Courtney.
But on a serious note, I mean, very, very sad. I didn't
very
know,
sad, yeah.
didn't know Howard very well, but I know how highly regarded he was. And he's not the first, quotes, young man from the tennis world to pass away of late.
Actually, what is interesting at this event today, they mentioned the fact that Mike Dixon died at the age of 59 at the Australian Open last year. Was it 2 years ago? Mark Hodgkinson died at the age of 46 earlier this year. Tom Perrotta died at 44 a couple of years back.
Another fine friend of mine, Duncan McKenzie McCarg, who has always been here, who, not from the written press, but he died late last year as well. So,
and he was early 40s and early 40s. Was celebrated in Australia at the Australian Open. So there's been actually, it's been a bad few months for the for the tennis journalist community.
Yeah,
and it's a very close-knit community because, of course, in a sport like tennis, there's a lot of travel involved. So it's not just turning up at an office. You're kind of travelling as a pack in lots of ways. It's a very international pack, but yes, all of those names you mentioned, very sadly missed.
And it was a very nice touch by the French Tennis Federation this morning to do that and to pull that together.
Yeah. And it was well attended as well.
That's great to hear.
Yeah.
Well, Lady E, I think we should bid adieu. Are you back? What time? Well, you are back, of course, but at what time are you back?
I mean, it's not guaranteed, Marcus.
Well, no. We get our...
Nothing's guaranteed.
Our daily report.
Was it Camus or Sartre who said that?
I will be back in 3 hours. No, I'll be back
three
in
3 hours.
About to say that.
You'll be an hour late then, won't you?
I'll be back in 2 hours.
Okay.
All right.
With a spring in my step and a song in my heart.
Oh.
I'll be back. Do you remember when Arnold Schwarzenegger visited?
Yeah,
our
we
booth?
Do. Yeah.
I'll be back in 6 hours.
Will you? It's probably a relief for the listeners.
Just enough time for them to recover.
Courtney, extended stint.
Chris, it's all yours.
Thank you. And that roar you just heard was for a delightful drop shot by Sarah Bailick, who I think she's playing a really great game. She's up against one of the legends of clay court tennis. But she's one of the shortest players on the tour as well. 1.63 meters or 5'3". Amanda Kutzer was a little shorter than her, but
what, about 1.6?
She was 1.57, I think. 5'2".
Fabulous player from South Africa.
Yeah, well, such an athlete. Mm. She would run and run and run, which, of course, when you're not very tall, is a very good skill to have.
You are covering a lot of territory, and this young lady is covering a lot of territory as well because she's standing quite a long way behind the baseline, having to scramble, and the heat, the warmth that we have in Paris is making the Swiatek forehand topspin, which is already savage, even more vicious for mine. It is jumping.
It's exploding off the surface. Big forehand from Swiatek is netted, and she almost collapsed on that one, actually. She's taking on the rise. Lofted return of serve. Dropped a little bit short. Another beautiful day. Expected top of 33 today. And
certainly felt fairly warm walking onto site earlier. A little warmer this morning. Then you know, we talked about how it's been quite, well, it's been very, very hot, unseasonably hot in Paris in the last few days.
Do you find this hot as an Australian? I mean,
yes.
You get used to 40-degree temperatures, and we've only been sort of only 33, 34, 35.
It's a different type of heat to Australia. I know that sounds very weird, because when you write or speak about it to Australians, and as another great point here, scrambling, but beautiful backhand from Swiatek.
Winning the point.
It's a different type of heat, so you know, we will get in Australia. You know, it can be in Melbourne, it can be a dry, really dry, burning heat if it gets above 40, and it can feel like you're stepping into an oven.
Which it did earlier this year, didn't it?
Which it did earlier this year.
At the Australian Open,
You can feel like you are stepping into an oven. A little further north, of course, you know, towards Brisbane and Sydney and even further north, it becomes quite tropical. You know,
but that's the more humid heat, isn't it?
Humidity is sapping, but probably a little bit more while you might get in New York
In late summer.
The heat here has elements of that New York late summer at the moment this week, but
But the humidity's only been around 50%, isn't it?
It certainly feels quite stifling.
Yeah.
There hasn't been any breeze,
breeze.
And Australia, I guess, given the conditions, if in winter, even though the temperatures might be, say, in Melbourne, you know, probably one of the cooler capitals, between 8 and, say, 15 overnight, it feels quite cool because we don't have the same insulation, so it can feel colder during winter than what it will in Europe or in the United States, where houses are made for the cool. Yeah. But I think as a result of that, similarly in London, when you get some hot days, it just feels really hot because in Australia, the houses are made to handle the heat better. That's why you have things like the Queenslanders, where you know the houses are above, basically on, you know, on stilts above the ground.
Yeah,
to let the air funnel in through.
Right, and that's why that is it?
Yeah,
yeah. No, there's been reports about how actually the insulation in North European houses might actually be starting to work against the interest as we're getting hotter summers in Northern Europe.
And that's why it always feels hotter here. I think when it is hot.
Yeah. Because people go inside and they don't escape the heat. Forehand return from Bailik, and she draws an error from Świątek. This is a long opening game of the second set. First one was 6-2 to Świątek. And this is a very long game, but it's a fascinating one because Bailik is covering a lot of ground. She's left-handed, wearing a blue sleeveless top, black skirt. Świątek in a sort of... She favours the sort of lilac outfits here. Roland Garros, as Świątek, forehand return from Bailik, is lofted, a lot of air, flattened out by Świątek, forehand from Bailik, forehand from Świątek. Bailik is there with a big whipped forehand, Świątek is there. It's forehand, going cross-court at the moment, now to the backhand of Świątek, giving that a lot of air, flattened out by Bailik, but she's put it just wide.
Avantage, Świątek.
Holding her own with these sort of almost moon ball shots.
Yeah, and I love the thought pattern that is going
in part
it is because it is essential. It's the way for her to scramble, but it does also throw Świątek a different challenge as well.
Absolutely. She's having to think differently. I mean, she powered her way to the first, three, four games. Actually, the first two games she won and then led 4-1 first set. Forehand from Bailik to the backhand of Świątek, lofted. Almost falling back off that one again. A big forehand from Bailik onto the baseline of Świątek goes onto the baseline of Bailik. But Bailik is still in this rally. She goes cross court. Forehand Świątek. Drop shot from Bailik is into the net. That was the wrong choice of shot. Drop shot would have worked had she gone down the line.
Yeah, it was right back into... It would have been in the hitting zone. Świątek was all over it. But what I loved in that point, again, is as the four-time champion here holds serve to get to one love after an extended struggle in that service game.
And it's 1 hour. Do you think they've played 9 games?
Yeah, this is longer than what Iga will normally have to cope with.
Yes, exactly.
She had to move a long way behind the baseline. You don't often see Świątek pushed behind the baseline too much, but she is... being forced to move backwards and forwards to alter her position because of the loopier, heavily topspin in forehands that the left-hander, also a factor, is able to push her back deep into the court on the backhand wing. So I love the fact that we're watching this match. It's a great contrast in styles.
It is.
We've got so many notes, Chris. Should we go through around the grounds or should we get to a couple of notes?
Go through the notes from listeners.
Well, first, you might be able to answer this one. Good morning. It's from Rose, writing from Jamaica. Hot but windy parts of Jamaica.
Okay.
Do you think Mpechi Perica has an uncanny resemblance to the West Indian cricket great Courtney Walsh, which you'll be able to explain. My name is similar to a champion West Indian bowler, and which other tennis player resembles other sporting greats? Ali and Songa.
Well, Ali and Songa is the obvious one. Yes, Mpechi Perica does look a bit like Courtney Walsh, actually. I think he's slightly thicker in the shoulders than Courtney Walsh. Courtney Walsh was very slim. I mean, he was a pace bowler, a fast bowler. Generally, that the build of a pace bowler is quite tall and slim. As Bailik comes into the net and
0-15.
Just slightly dumps a forehand into the net. Clever shot from Świątek, though.
Yes, rather than going for the dry forehand, she chipped that one low, made it awkward for her. Important for the Czech to try and stay with her early in this second set. Having dropped the first, she fought so hard, really stretched her rival as Świątek. Straight into the slot, that first serve, Chris, and whipped through that backhand.
Well, it wasn't a particularly big first serve. She has a good slider serve, does Bailik, but Świątek is starting to read it now. And she guessed that ball was going to the backhand and just thumped a flat backhand across court. That's what Świątek does so well. We think of her with hitting lots of topspin, but she can flatten it out. And suddenly she gets the pace on the ball when she does that. Bailek at love 30 serves. Second serve from the Czech left-hander is to the backhand of Świątek. Forehand from Bailek, lofted deep to the backhand of Świątek. Świątek just takes this on the rise and is happy to rally. Now a bigger forehand from Świątek, but Bailek is there. Forehand from Świątek goes long. Good depth from the Czech. That drew the error.
Some frustration there from the Polish champion. You saw her smack herself in the right thigh. She jumped up and down. I like the way she's getting round and trying to take that aggressively on the forehand, even though she's a metre or two behind the baseline and hitting them, given the trajectory of the ball that she's facing. She's really moving her feet and bouncing round. It's just been a great match to watch.
I'm trying to think about any tennis players who resemble people from other famous people from other walks of life. Not sure at the moment. I'm sure there must be lots of them. Backhand for Bailek to the forehand of Świątek, cross court at the moment. Now lofted by Bailek. It's a short ball. Świątek takes that down the line. Backhand from Bailek. Forehand from Świątek. Wrong foot's Bailek. And really, the point is over from the moment Bailek dropped the ball short.
Good composure there from Świątek as well. She didn't try and overhit the back end. She just forced her further out of court when she went down the line, and that opened up the court for the short forehand. Lovely put away.
Did we give the result that Jesper de Jong beat Federico Chiena?
We have not. He was okay. Two sets up when I was on the way up.
6-3, 6-1, 6-3. So de Jong...
Followed that great win over Stan Wawrinka a couple of days ago with a nice win. And we've talked about him trying to transition, make it more permanently an ATP Tour player. Two wins here will really help because he's right on that sort of transition, that cusp.
And his next match will be a massive one for him, because if he gets the fourth round, the ranking points will see him set fair for a year.
Yes.
One break point saved. Still 30-40 on the Bailek serve. She goes down the forehand of Świątek. Lofted deep. The forehand from Bailek is flattened out. Świątek is there. A drop shot. No, it's not a drop shot. It's a slice from Bailek on the forehand. Backhand from Bailek. Forehand from Świątek. Backhand Bailek up the forehand wing. Driving Świątek back. Down the line by Świątek. Bailek with a forehand up the middle of the court. Now she has to run to her backhand as the check, and she's gone long.
Świątek.
So moves to love. Simon has written from Warragul in Victoria, which is about a 90-minute drive out of Melbourne towards Gippsland. He's also Australian, and he thought shotgunning just meant being the first to claim the front passenger seat of a car. That is, you know, calling shotgun is another phrase. Calling shotgun is if you've got a group of you together.
Okay.
But no, he says my version sounds like so much more fun. Admittedly, Simon, if you shotgun too many cans too quickly, it can make for a short night.
Yes, and you have to be quite careful that you don't cut your hand or your lip if you're putting a dent in the side of a metal can, because they can have very sharp edges.
And Gabrielle has written from Fort Worth saying it's still raining there, but similarly to Simon, shotgun for her is the person who gets the front passenger seat.
And so, by the way, the groan was for Świątek, who tried a drop shot and messed it up badly. Is shotgunning for the front seat of the car just claiming it? Or
shotgun. Yeah, calling shotgun. If you're in a group of people,
yes, and you say I'm going in the front, you've called shotgun.
You've called
shotgun. Have to actually go and
no, you
sit
say
there.
You say shotgun, and then if you've said it first, it's yours by law.
Goodness me, it sounds like something out of primary school.
Well, you know who I am, Chris.
I won't develop that thought. Good return from Bailek, who comes into the net, plays a drop shot. Świątek will get there. Goes cross-court with a horrible shot. That went actually closer to the advertising hoardings
0-30.
Than it did to the doubles line.
You could see what she was trying to do in terms of just a little delicate flick. Now, for mine, I'm wondering if she's just slightly caught the frame on that, because it just
slightly?
Missed. Well,
I don't think there's any strings in that at all.
Missed by a significant way, yes.
And there's a big amount of side space. What do you call the run back at the sides? Run back at the sides, probably. Backhand from Bailek is long. She's frustrated with herself.
Yeah, there's certainly heaps of space to both the behind the baseline and also to the width and the length of the court. So you've got plenty of space to the hoardings.
Between the doubles line and the hoardings, or the doubles line and the geraniums. Świątek at 15-30. Long pause before she serves. Backhand return is lofted. Świątek runs around her backhand, goes into out. Forehand from Bailek is mishit and it's gone wide. And Świątek is back at 30-all.
And Gabrielle, we will get some doubles results with the doubles underway when the chance arises.
It's defeat for an Australian. Sorry to say that, Courtney. Hidalgo and Trach. I don't know how to pronounce that. It's American, T-R-H-A-C. They have beaten Romboli from Brazil and John Patrick Smith from Australia.
Ah, JP is
three sets.
You know, late 30s now and still going round.
Yeah. Big forehand from Świątek, lofted from Bélek. Forehand from Świątek. Bélek with a forehand. Świątek runs around her backhand, but Bélek has read this one well. Forehand from Świątek. Bélek has to move to her forehand, goes to the backhand of Świątek, up the middle of the court. Bélek will go down the line. Świątek has to make good ground and goes deep to the forehand of Bélek. This is phenomenal hitting. Forehand from Świątek is...
out.
Oh, it was... The umpire, Kadir Nooney, has called it out. The line umpire put her hands together. He's gone down to look at the mark, and he's saying quite clearly out.
It's funny. Did wander in slowly, just trying to look. Yeah, heavily top-spinning ball, so it was going to dip sharply, but just narrowly misses. So now facing a break point after those couple of early wild errors, the wild drop shot and the even wilder shanked backhand.
Yeah.
Misses with the cross-court forehand, so a break point here.
30-40. Świątek from the commentary box end. Serving... to the forehand of Bélek. Forehand from Świątek, into out. A lofted shot from Bélek. Where will that land? It lands on the sideline of Świątek. Forehand from Świątek. Backhand from Bélek is sliced. Backhand from Świątek has to dig this out. Forehand Bélek down the line. Świątek digs this out. Bélek's coming to the net. The volley, she doesn't put it away. Świątek's there. Second volley should go away. It is. Oh, that's brilliant from Bélek.
Outstanding defence from Bélek. Initially to stay in the point. The ability to land that high defensive lob deep in the court on the right singles land line was fantastic. But then to seize the initiative, short ball, I'm going to come forward, I'm going to take the fight and the approach too. Świątek looked a little bit stunned by that.
She had to play two volleys as well.
Two volleys, and the second one was, look, it was there to be hit, but she really closed well and crunched it down the line. Beautiful forehand volley.
163, that's a high volley.
Yep, that's a fair point. Lovely tennis again.
Yeah, beautiful tennis.
And again, I mean, Świątek is still firmly in control. She concedes the break there, but she's firmly in control. But it is a match where we are seeing her challenged. I love seeing the variety, what has been posed at her. And, you know, if she is able to come through this and, you know, she's still in a good position, it's the type of match that I think sharpens a player, hones all the instincts, because she's getting pushed in ways she probably didn't expect today, Chris.
Yeah. And she's had a good clay court season, Świątek. Not quite in the same category as previous years, but given the clay court season she had last year, she's playing well at the moment. Any more messages?
Yes, so Natalie, who wrote yesterday from the Wimby Barge, London via Sydney, love to know what snacks I've brought across. Yes, the Tim Tams and the Shapes are Australian delicacies, but there was a specific... and she's got a snack request in for her mum when she arrives in London. Specific request from Lady Eleanor. Now, Lady Eleanor's brother, for those who don't know, he's a renowned chef back in Australia.
Matt Preston.
Matt Preston, a famous television host as well.
Yes.
Lady Eleanor's request was not for any of his fine cuisines or the family recipes. She may already have those. It was for what we call twisties. Chris has not been brave enough to try and take on these fluorescent yellow cheese sticks effectively with a crunch.
They don't have much connection with cheese.
Well, no. I mean, it might be a very manufactured taste. But
I think so.
But twisties are here on the box and of course, the snakes.
Yes. The snakes are always there. Yes. We recommend healthier options as well. Forehand from Świątek, off the top of the net and long.
And on that occasion, it's not quite as composed. She probably didn't need to go for as much as that, but she really did let rip, and the pace and the power, well, it bounced off the tape, as you said, and a good metre and a half long.
Marco Trungeliti has taken the second set against Karen Khachanov. So the 13th seed is pegged back, one set all. That's over on Court Suzanne Longlen. Andre Rublev has an early break against Camilo Ugo Carabelli.
Gaza.
What other? We've got Tamara Korpach and Sinyu Wang, who are in the final set of their match, 3-2 to Korpach. And looking for other matches that are... that's right, Davidovich Fokina. He's dropped the third set. So the 21st seed, who went to a very long five-setter on, was it Sunday or Monday?
15:30.
He will have to go five again if he's to come through this one. Mind you, he sort of eats five setters for breakfast.
He is a marathon man, the Spaniard. We have a note from Emily who... this is more for the previous combination, the dream team of Buckland and Lady Eleanor saying,
appreciate your... their dreams.
Appreciate your banter and fascinating insights. Among other great traits, as Stefan seems to laugh the most when Marcus is on air.
Yes, we noticed that.
We'll make sure we, and she's writing from Harrisburg in Pennsylvania, we'll make sure we delete that. We're not going to pass that sort of good commentary onto our colleagues.
Marcus isn't back for another 5.5 hours, is he? So, yeah. Okay, with 30 all on the Bailek serve, serving to level the second set at 2-2. She serves, forehand return down the forehand wing. Bailek lofts the forehand. A jump backhand from Świątek, forehand from Bailek, backhand Świątek. Bailek will loft this one again to the forehand of Świątek. Goes cross court, backhand from Bailek, up the line, misses. I'm not sure I've ever seen Świątek hit a jump backhand. That was a Marcelo Rios shot.
Yeah, indeed, and she did it with great distinction as well. But that's, again, the challenge that is being posed here. If she wants to try and impose her will on
she needs
to take the ball on the rise and really get through it.
30-40, point for 3-1 for Świątek as Bailek serves into the net. Where will she go with this second serve? She's got to kick it. I suspect it'll have to go into the body.
I'm going wide. No, I got it wrong.
Forehand return. Chopped forehand from Bailek. Forehand from Świątek. Bailek making good ground to her backhand. It goes long, but too long. And Świątek breaks. Three successive breaks and leads by 3-1.
Świątek made power.
Now, Chris, in your distinguished and versatile career where you've done many different things... Okay. Aside from being on the court, have you ever been someone who has ordained a marriage? Because I must have missed something last night, because Delia has written in to say, fell asleep last night amidst the RG, Radio RG crew, arranging the marriage of two listeners. How did that end? What happened
Goodness
there?
Me. No, I've never been ordained. Probably one of the last people to be ordained.
Yes. I mean, no, the person who has been...
The matchmaker.
The matchmaker.
Yeah. No, I've never... Have I ever been? No, I don't think so. Put it this way, I've never been invited to the wedding if I was the person instrumental. So if it has happened, they've cursed me rather than thanked me. Forehand return to the backhand of Bailek, deep to the forehand of Świątek. Bailek lofts this one. No pace on it. Świątek flattens it out but misses. Again, that's interesting. She's not handling these sort of loopy balls.
Well, look, the angle from that one. So we're talking Bailek well behind the baseline. She's a left-hander, so think about that. It's a back end, and it's coming back cross-court. Świątek trying to get around that, so it's coming from a slightly different angle to what you'll normally see, to flatten through the ball and go off. It was just some angles not quite aligning there, and she didn't get herself into position as well as what you might normally expect. And I think in part, Chris, her forehand has got such savage topspin when she's really ripping it. I don't think she flattens through it as well as what you need to come through that higher looping ball. If you're going to take it on the rise, you need to come through it flatter as opposed to really try and rip the topspin.
She used to flatten it out well, didn't she? Do you think she's lost something, or is that something that she's never
I also think this is a different, we're talking, this is really high. It's not just a regular topspin with heavily topspin. This is more like they're more defensive lobs with not a lot of pace, so you have to create your own.
Well, it's a good challenge for Świątek, and maybe other people in the locker room may be thinking, I know how I might be able to do a little bit of damage. 30-15, Świątek, second serve is too long. She took a long time between first and second serves, and I've got this theory, the longer you take, the more likely you are to double fault. There is something about the rhythm between first and second serve.
You see a lot of players, given the time and the shot clock is so fixed, if they miss the first serve, they do take their time in the second to try and compose them.
Doesn't always help. 30-all, Świątek serves. It's a soft serve. Backhand return is lofted deep. Forehand from Świątek. Backhand from Bailek. Just too long.
She's annoyed with that as well, Bailey, because
she
hasn't missed too many of those shots, just regulation rally shots. 128 kilometres an hour, but slicing wide with a bit of kick.
First serve?
I thought it was the second serve.
No, it was first serve.
Maybe a strategic one to try and draw the pace.
Maybe that's also possible. This time is a much faster serve. 178 into the body. Error from Bailey. And Świątek opens up a 4-1 lead.
Świątek went back. 4-1.
Matthew has written in from Birmingham. Matt, hello, to say Andy Murray looks like the American comedy actor Rob Hubel. I may have mispronounced Rob's name. Lucy Safarova always reminded me of the actress Lee Remick.
Yeah, I can see Safarova and Remick. Wouldn't mistake them, but I can see the link.
We've got quite a few messages on X as well. And remember, you can write to us on X at @radio_RG, lower case for the radio, and email us at French Open Radio, all lowercase, at fft.fr. We love to hear where you are. Tell us your thoughts.
The email address is not case sensitive. Is the X handle?
Yes, as I just pointed out, it is.
It is.
Okay. At radio is lower.
Okay.
Lowercase, and then underscore, and then the RG is uppercase.
Okay.
So thank you. So, Barbara, what about Riding Shotgun in the song by George Ezra? Well, indeed.
Riding Shotgun, yes.
Riding Shotgun. Yes. Shotgun.
Yes.
Canem, I'm not the first to say it, but Belinda Benchik looks like she could be one of the musical Haim sisters, and I like that. Haim is a I really like it. Listening while eating blueberry banana oatmeal
on
the patio
nice.
In St. Cloud. Well, St. Cloud. Do you say St. Cloud, Minnesota? You would say St. Cloud here, or is it St. Cloud?
It's probably St. Cloud in Minnesota, isn't it?
Yeah, St. Cloud is a...
St. Cloud is here.
Here, not too far away.
That's where I'm staying. Yeah. It's a little... community on the very, very western edge of Paris. Well, it's not part of the administration of Paris. It's its own little commune. Bailek serving. 1-4 down, second set. But she's kept Świątek out there for an hour and 20 minutes, so she'll probably get to the hour and a half mark, which is probably more than Świątek wanted to be out there for. Świątek goes long with a return of serve.
And what that does is push today's play. You think it extends it a little bit. So we have Novak on court, third up on...
He'll be happy to be on as late as possible, won't he?
Well, I think in Paris the heat tends to be... It's a little bit more like Melbourne now. It tends to be hotter.
About five o'clock
in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So it will be a little challenge, I think, that heat if he...
I'm assuming they're going to put Sinner on at that slot tomorrow, are they? Have we had tomorrow's order of play?
It is Stefan Lutz.
Radio Roland Garros. Radio Roland Garros will be with you from 11 local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
Radio Roland Garros.
Listen again, replay.
The tournament director, is he the man pulling the strings for the schedule, or does that fall back to Emily Maresmo
I think she's responsible for
right.
it. Who actually makes the decision? Well, Remy Asmar is the umpire, isn't he? Forehand from Świątek, backhand from Bailek. Forehand from Świątek is into the net. And Bailek has moved to 40 love.
Just put her in a slightly awkward position. It was there to hit, but the margin for error wasn't that high and not able to navigate a path over the net.
Winning the doubles for the Ukrainian pair of Kalinina and Yastremska, 6-1, 6-1, over Zhang and Yu from China. Forehand from Świątek is off the frame, into the tram lines, and a love hold for Bailek.
I think that absolutely guarantees that'll get to about a minute, an hour and a half.
Yes, I think so. Well, that was a quick game.
Christopher Ann's son is not so happy about the... must have been some discussion about 1970s and 80s tennis compared to the weaponry on offer today, saying that he finds it a different, nearly unrecognisable sport. And
I agree.
Slow and ugly, but I never found it slow and ugly. I appreciate the subtleties because you know the differences between the rackets and
absolutely.
You appreciate absolutely what they're doing and how it was played and why it was different. I do think beautiful matches.
Yes, I think though that Świątek goes long again, and she's starting to look a little frustrated now. Clay court tennis has definitely been improved by the modern technology. I mean, it was one of the Lendl Villander finals. I think it was 85. The first set took 75 minutes. I think it was a 7-5 set. You know, 7-5 in 75 minutes. Kind of thing you just remember. And it was absolutely excruciatingly dull. It really was.
It's often a phrase that's used to describe me when in social outings.
But, in fact, I watched recently that's a double fault from Świątek. She's now going to change her racket.
And no doubt the balls are flying today.
Maybe, yes.
But Love 30, having still up a service break 4-2, but she has had some challenges on serve in this second set.
I remember watching the Villander final from 82, and it was absolutely attritional. Neither player was actually looking to make anything happen. And as the match wore on, Villander suddenly started taking the ball early. Started thinking, right, well, I'm not going to just hit the ball. It was almost like a practice drill. It was just get the ball back. Just get the ball back. And the quality of hitting now is so much better. Drop shot from Bélek. Świątek is into the net. Bélek will go with a lob. Smashed by Świątek. Bélek gets there. Świątek should put that volley away. She does.
Even just watching Bélek, and you touched on a forehand, which even confused you earlier in this set, where she shaped to be hitting the drop shot and then instead hit almost a drive slice
deep
forehand.
Yes.
Now, that was a shot played with the wooden rackets, the drive slice. But you haven't seen it as much. But I think with the string improvements and the rackets and the thing, I find it quite a, you know, obviously you hit a lot of topspin. We're both reasonable club players, I would say, where we are at. But I find it so easy to just slide into a drive sliced forehand as well as a topspin forehand. It's an effective shot, and I think it's an easier shot to hit now than what it was back then.
Well, players often hit it when they're driven out wide.
Of course, the squash shot, but even as an effective aggressive shot, which is what she did, Bélek, sort of halfway through that.
Yeah, maybe it'll make a comeback.
It's good just to throw. I mean, there's nothing wrong with hitting a really deep aggressive slice either. 4-2,
30-all, Świątek from the commentary box end serves to the backhand of Bélek. A forehand from Świątek up the forehand wing. Bélek has to loop this one. Where will that land? It's short. Świątek down the line, but misses. Again, that's the kind of shot that she would not normally miss. She's out of sorts today, you know. I know she's 6-2, 4-2 up, but nonetheless.
Not quite as... I mean, she looks good.
She's not as clinical as she normally is.
No, but I think credit has to go to her rival as well for throwing something that she doesn't normally see. I think there's a little bit of both happening here. It is a different shot that you will...
It's break point for Bélek. She lofts a return of serve. Flattened out by Świątek, but Bélek is there. Goes cross court. Backhand from Świątek, deep to the forehand of Bélek. Given a lot of air. Big forehand from Świątek, but Bélek is there with a flat backhand. Forehand Świątek. Backhand from Bélek, cross court. Świątek has to run to a forehand. A slice backhand from Bélek. Lands it inside the sideline. Świątek should put this away. No, it's got back by Bélek. Half volley by Świątek into the net. Oh, that is again phenomenal retrieving by the Czech.
Outstanding. We talk about squash shots or the defensive squash shots. She was well behind the baseline. It was almost a desperation lunge, but to get the pace of shot that she had, and Świątek caught in what we would effectively call no man's land. If she comes forward a couple of steps, she hits that on the forehand volley. I think caught out by the fact that such a good retrieving shot came back at her, made it an awkward half volley, and it's 4-3.
I'm enjoying this. Really am enjoying this. This is great stuff.
Back on the serve, and yes, you know, probably not at her best, but she's also playing someone who is retrieving the ball extremely well, so she is making her play more shots.
And you made the point earlier about how Świątek's topspin is even more explosive today, but then so is Bélek's.
Yep, it's a fascinating match, a great contrast of styles. You've also got the rank underdog against a woman who, just going back through her record here a couple of days ago, I was when she played the young Australian talent Emerson Jones on this court and was a 6-1, 6-2 winner. That was her 41st victory at Roland Garros from 44 matches, and her winning strike rate was something like 94%. Rafa, of course, won 112 of 116 outings on the at this tournament at 97%. It is otherworldly figures in terms of the percentages that they have here.
No, absolutely. Having said that, Bejlek, although she's not particularly well known, she's only 20 years old, she is up to 35 in the rankings. Now, part of that was for a tournament she won earlier this year, Dubai, was it? Which she won as a qualifier. It's her first WTA title, but she qualified for it and went all the way and won it. So her ranking is maybe slightly artificially high at the moment, but she is showing that she can battle with the very best. So world number three, backhand from Świątek, forehand from Bejlek. Backhand Świątek cross-court is a winner. That's a classic Świątek shot, and she screams up towards her box.
Zero guys.
Francesca Rojc.
As you said, certainly a testing workout. An hour 28 now on the court.
Yeah.
Bejlek held her last service game with ease. Struggled from this end so far through this set. So it's a big, big challenge for her to try and hold serve to level it for all. And then you don't know because, you know, Świątek, I think we've seen splashes of her best through the clay season, but there is still the occasional wobble, more regular than what there used to be.
Big forehand from Świątek, but Bejlek is there. Forehand Świątek. Backhand from Bejlek, lofted. Świątek will take this on the rise, but Bejlek has read it. Bejlek is too long, though.
Nice movement, didn't overplay the forehand aggressively, just nice depth and pace and too much for the left-hander to handle. So she's just taken a moment at the back of the court, perhaps a little bit of dust in her eye.
Easy to do.
It's quite, I've noticed, you know, it still feels like perhaps that flash from the cold weather to the extreme heat this week, it feels like it's a little more, a few more allergies in the air.
Maybe, yeah. And there's no wind, of course, to keep the air circulating. Good deep serve from Bejlek, and now she plays a forehand to the forehand of Świątek. Backhand from Bejlek. Świątek goes cross court with a winner. Bejlek was coming in, but although her approach shot was deep, it wasn't particularly well angled.
No, and in that point, she was back to what Świątek would see more regularly. It was just drive.
And straight a target through, at the net.
And a target at the net. Used the pace beautifully. Still had to make the shot, but it was a lovely cross court backhand passing shot.
Laforte on the Bejlek serve. She goes into the body, but just too long. She has the flat serve and she's got the slice. Now, will she use the kicker here? She does, but it's too long.
And so that lets the champion off the hook. A real reprieve there at 3-4, having broken back.
Just
such a good match as Bejlek, but
not sustainable.
You have to keep the level up.
Yep,
and that's also difficult.
And to fall off in such a manner is a shame. Świątek now with a chance to serve for a position in the third round. She still has to obviously get the job done, but that is a little reprieve after what's been a particularly testing period in this second set.
So Świątek, after an hour and a half on court,
Merci.
Is serving for a place in the third round. Świątek from the president's box end serves, forehand return, forehand from Świątek, cross court, backhand from Bejlek, forehand Świątek. It's very much cross court at the moment. Now Bejlek goes down the line, backhand Świątek, forehand Bejlek. Backhand Świątek down the backhand wing. Bejlek cross court. Lovely short angle. Now a drop shot from Bejlek. Świątek will get there. Goes cross court. Cut off by the volley. Świątek catches it again and wins the point.
Fabulous exchange near the net. Bejlek volleying, diving from side to side. Świątek basically forced to hit half volleys, but beautiful racket head control. Lovely touch to be able to whip that one back past the lunging, almost ballerina-like attempt at volleying from Bejlek.
I love the fact that Bejlek's so happy to come to the net. She trusts her volleys. She's a lovely player to watch. And this has been a super match. I suspect it's not going to last much longer. 3 points from victory, Świątek. She hits a forehand across the middle of the court. Now lofted backhand. Backhand Świątek to the forehand of Bejlek. That's gone a good metre long from the Czech.
Yeah, just not able to control a few of those baseline rally shots in the last three games. Again, the ball is flying, so hot, so warm, it's getting through the air, but that one well long on the forehand. So 2 points now
Result on court 11, court 7 tomorrow. Corpatch has beaten Xinyu Wang 6-2, 2-6, 6-3. So there's a singles result for you. Haven't had that many singles results yet today. A couple of long matches brewing. 2.5 hours played by Davidovich, Rakina and Tarante early in the fourth set. Swiatek serves, backhand return. Deep backhand from Swiatek, cross court. Forehand from Bielek, backhand Swiatek. Bielek goes back to the back end of the pole, cross court, but Bielek is there, can't get this back though. Excellent movement from Swiatek.
Formidable striking on that backhand wing. And after that difficulty, the drop in the serve to allow Bielek a half window back into the match. She is finishing with a flourish. She's won 7 points in a row. Broke to love, now holds 3 match points.
Merci. Swiatek, 4 times, former champion, at match point. She serves into the forehand of Bielek. Forehand from Swiatek. Forehand Bielek into the net.
Swiatek. 2-6, 6-2, 6-3.
6-2, 6-3 in an hour and 33 minutes. Swiatek moves forward. But that was a tougher test than she may have been expecting. Great experience for Sara Bielek, but it's Swiatek who shows her class. And she remains one of the frontline favourites. We remain on course, potentially. It's very early in the tournament. Never yet had a Sabalenka-Swiatek final in this era where they have been the dominant two women. And never had one in a slam. We've had them in top level tour events, but never in a slam.
Je vous demande d'accompagner Sara Bielek, qui était au deuxième tour.
As Sara Bielek walks from the court, she gets a warm ovation from the fans, appreciative of what she demonstrated on this very fine stadium court today. Lovely effort. She's signing a couple of autographs at the back of the court for some young fans who I suspect will see more of her, because I love the way she plays. I think she's got a lot to offer.
We're about to hear from Iga Swiatek. She's just replenishing her fluids. Having a quick chat with Fabrice Santoro, who will interview her.
What Bielek did was similar to what Fabrice Santoro, to an extent, used to throw to rivals. Some off-pace shots, some different
angles.
Different angles, different trajectories of shots to try and disrupt the rhythm.
L'un des magiciens des cours, Fabrice Santoro.
Marc Maury introducing Fabrice Santoro as one of the magicians of the court. Here he is talking with Iga Swiatek.
Iga, congratulations. Another comfortable win today. It's always special when you play someone for the first time. And it was the first battle today with Sara.
Yeah, you know, for sure she has a tricky style of game, so I needed to adjust to that and, you know, feel a little bit what she does from both forehand and backhand. And for sure she mixed up the rhythm quite well, so for sure it wasn't easy.
I was looking at all your matches you played since Roland Garros last year. It's only the second time today you play a lefty player. Is it different the way you prepare the match with your team?
Yeah, for sure. But obviously it depends also on the opponent, if she's actually using the fact that she's a lefty, you know. And for sure, Sara today, she served a lot of, you know, serves to the backhand and slicing a lot. So you need to get used to the different spin and sometimes react a bit differently, for sure.
I want to talk also about your new organization, because we all know, and all the stadium actually loves Rafa, of course. And recently you move with his former coach, Francisco Roig. What is the biggest change you have in your preparation, the way you practice, and you spend quite a few weeks in Spain?
Yeah, I spent a week in Mallorca, which is amazing because, you know, starting the clay court season there really gave me a lot of energy and like motivation. And with Francis, obviously, you know, I'm really happy that we kind of speak the same language and he wants the same stuff for my game as, you know, as how I wish to play. So it all fits perfectly. And yeah, I mean, we practice a little bit differently because with every coach there's a different style of practices. And at first, you know, I needed to adjust to that. And I feel like week by week I can take more and more from Francis for sure.
Last question. As a tennis player, you're lucky to travel around the world every week. And I know you're one of the players, when you arrive somewhere, you go and visit a place. As far as I remember, 2 years ago, you went to Château de Versailles. Last year, in a big park or garden. What about this year? What's your plan?
Honestly, this year is more about cuisine, I would say, because actually I have a chef in the evening from Roland Garros. You know, he's, I think, working at this restaurant next to Simon Mathieu. So I would say this year I'm exploring a little bit healthy French cuisine, not French fries, though.
Do you cook cuisine?
No, I mean, he has the skills. I have no talent. I would just make a mess, you know, in the kitchen. So, yeah, but honestly, there are so many places I want to visit in Paris. Like, but, you know, I think I'm going to do that after I'm done with tennis, because now I'm staying, like, next to Boulogne and everything is so far away, like 40 minutes away. So I would love to one day, like, spend here really, like, 2 weeks and see different districts and get to know Paris a bit more.
Thank you very much, and once again, congratulations.
Thank
Mesdames
so
et messieurs,
much.
Veuillez raccompagner la quadruple vainqueur du tournoi, Iga Świątek.
Yes, 4 Roland Garros titles, 6 Grand Slam titles, and still the reigning Wimbledon champion, which was, for some people, a shock win. It didn't shock me last year when Świątek won Wimbledon, because, you know, she was a junior champion, and I always thought there's no reason she can't play on clay, on grass. It's just that because she's played so much on clay, I think she's slightly fried by the time she gets to Wimbledon.
That's the thing. There is flipped, silver lining sometimes to struggling for your best form on your favourite surface. And, you know, she didn't have quite as busy a clay court season last year. Arrived in Wimbledon, perhaps also with less pressure.
Low expectations.
Yes. And performed really well. The semi-final was a significant battle. And then just to be able to, you know, Amanda Anisimova, who was a richly talented player, but just didn't bring her best on that day. And
I was worried about Anisimova when I saw there was a TV camera that got the two players just as they were about to walk out on centre court. And I worried that Anisimova wouldn't get more than about 4 or 5 games. Well, that's 4 or 5 games more than she actually did get.
Yes, not quite a difficult one.
Yeah. But she bounced back well to get to the US Open final.
Fabulous. And she did have a win a couple of days ago. You wonder, I think there were some questions perhaps about her health leading in, but she got through her first round match, and that's one step closer to a title. You need to be alive and in the draw to have any chance. Do you want to do a quick round of
let's
the scores?
See where we're up to.
Take us around the grounds.
We've got the match between Svitolina and Quevedo coming up on Philippe Chatrier court. So let's use the time to go around the grounds and also do get to some of your messages. On the court, Suzanne Longlen, Karin Khachanov, having dropped the second set to Marco Trungeliti, is 5-1 up in the third and has 3 set points as we're talking. So the 13th seed about to take a 2-1 lead. Andrei Rublev raced through the first set against Camilo Ugo Carabelli, but this is Andrei Rublev for you. He's 4 love down in the second.
I wandered past on my walk down, it's Boulevard Mozart or Avenue Mozart, yesterday on the way into Roland Garros, and there was his coach, Marat Safin, just enjoying a coffee at my little local cafe, having a chat. He's still a distinctive figure.
Very distinctive, even though he looks quite different to the way he looked in his playing days. And yes, he always looks like these days like he should have a guitar under his arm. On court 14, Thiago Agustin Tirante, it looks like he's about to beat Alejandro Davidovich Fokina, because the Argentinian leads 2-1 and 4-1 in the fourth, but just the one breaker serve.
And it is one of those situations where you see those who have gone 5 sets and progressed in the first couple of days, you do wonder, given how warm and how testing and how challenging
how
the conditions are, what it will take out of them, and can they bounce back? You know, 2 days later, yes, they have got a day's break. They will do things, but it's just also a challenge to see how much you've got left in the legs, and that's why any win, even a straight set one that goes 90 minutes, it's still straight sets. Świątek is often in the locker room and preparing for a couple of days ahead.
Now then, on court 7, match has been called, which means the players will be on the way, of Yelena Ostapenko against Magda Linette. Now, if Ostapenko wins that, she plays Świątek.
As Rose has written again from Jamaica to say, Świątek says, over to you, Ostapenko, can you meet me in round 3? And we know the rivalry there. The unbelievable head-to-head is
7-0.
7-0. And is it 7-0? It is very close to that.
Certainly the last 7, I think, if not
And just just a surprising one. Well, is it a rivalry if it's so one-sided? It's
well, yes. Oh. It's fascinating. It's amazing how two games match up in a way that delivers some strange results. Look at how Federer, for many years, could never beat Nadal.
And then turned it around very late.
Turned it around late in his career, 2017. Yeah.
It is, the head-to-head is played 6, won 6.
Okay.
Ostapenko, the former Roland Garros champion. Yeah, it'll be fascinating to see.
How many of those are on clay?
I'm just working through to see the last. So Stuttgart, 2025, Ostapenko in 3 sets. Doha, 2025, Ostapenko 3-1,
that's
very one-sided.
Yeah.
US Open, hard court, Ostapenko in 3, but again, very dominant finish at the end. Hard court for Dubai, Ostapenko 6 in the third. Indian Wells, straight sets, Ostapenko, you sense in the theme here. And grass in 2019, and that was 2 in love to Ostapenko. So it's a, yeah, they've played on all 3 surfaces only once on clay. In Stuttgart, clay is different to outdoor clay,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's indoor clay, isn't it?
Yeah, so it would be a different kettle of fish, but I guess Yelena knows Roland Garros and what it's like to succeed here as well
she
as what Iga does.
There'll be 2 former champions, assuming that happens. We'll keep an eye on that particular match for you. Mariano Navone and Jakub Menchik. Menchik, 26th seed. They've just started out on court 6. Interesting doubles on court 2, where Lara Ziegemund and Vera Svonareva, who are, they were US Open champions in the COVID year. I always remember that because players weren't allowed to touch at that stage. So between points, they just touched rackets. And Ziegemund went up to the umpire after they'd won the final. They were just waiting for the trophy ceremony to be set up. And she said to the umpire, "Am I not allowed to hug my partner? We've won the title." And the umpire sort of paused and said, "Oh yeah, go on." It was a lovely moment. Well,
I guess the title is won.
Well, I don't think they represented much of a health risk at that stage. But the fact is, it was just one of those lovely moments of, you know, actually humanity does exist amid the extreme caution around COVID.
And good to see Svonareva, still playing 42. She had a couple of good results recently. The former world number 2, who, you know, was off the circuit, sort of retired, and now back. And she had some good results recently. I think qualified for a main draw somewhere. And
she looked exactly the same as she looked when she was, well, got to those 2 Grand Slam singles finals.
There's another doubles match out that I'm really interested in.
Yeah, I'm looking at that one. Sara Irani and Lily Tagger.
So Lily Tagger won the junior girls singles here at Roland Garros last year. She plays with a beautiful one-handed backhand. She's coached by another former champion here, Francesca Schiavone.
Yep. Who won this with a one-handed backhand. I think she was the last female player to win with a one-handed backhand.
Defeated Sam Stosur in 2010. Irani, of course, had played for so long with Esmen Paolini. That partnership, they're not together for this tournament.
Because I don't think Paolini's playing as much doubles,
not playing
is
as
she?
Much doubles. So that's, you know, there's a focus from the Italian, current Italian number 1 on singles. But they're up against an American combination. Another Grand Slam winner, Sofia Kenin and Ashlyn Kruger. And it's the Italian-Austrian combination, Tagger and Irani leading 6-3, 4-2.
And that'd be good experience for Tagger because she's still only 19, but she's got her ranking in the top 100 now.
Oh, and I was covering the juniors
last year. I love the way she plays.
Watching her.
I was also very pleased to see Deanne Parry win yesterday against Kalinina because she has a single-handed backhand. There are still a couple left in the women's game. Golubic.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tatiana Maria has largely, I think her ranking slipped down too far now, but Golubic is still up there.
Maria was playing yesterday, but was beaten.
Okay. Deanne Parry plays with a one-handed backhand.
She does. She interestingly, she had switched to two-handed for return, but having dropped the first set yesterday in her match against Kalinina, 6-love, it's something that she's sort of been experimenting with. Clearly, they've got some data that tells her that returning with two hands on the backhand on return is a safer thing. But so
well,
she said,
the
no,
ball's coming at you.
It's not working. Yeah. So she went back to the one-hander and just played magnificently. I mean, the forehand's got such great easy power. She was on this court. It was a really, caught Philippe Chatrier. It was a really good comeback and well received by the fans, understandably.
Yeah, no, it's a great win, and very pleased to see, just pleased to see variety in game. That's what we loved about Bejlek just now. She offers something different, and you know, I love watching Krejcikova play because she does different things.
Mukova as well.
Mukova, yes. Love watching her. When she got to the final and took Świątek to three sets, it was wonderful. As a result in the men's doubles, Zheya and Jacquet from France have lost to Arens and Pell, Dutch pair, 6-4, 6-3.
What about the detective combination that Buckland and... Buckland, the Buccaneer, was commentating them before. Cash and Tracy, the crime fighters.
Yeah.